One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
When we think about the supernatural, our minds wander to ancient graveyards and shadowed mansions. But what happens when the ghosts of history come alive on a secluded lakeside beach? And then the protagonist of our story takes us back to their teenage years, a time filled with the usual mischief and thrill-seeking. But in the small town of Amherstburg, Ontario, where centuries of battles and whispers of the past fill the air, even the bravest can be brought to their knees. Imagine a place where the forest stands silent, the lake holds secrets, and unseen eyes watch from the shadows, waiting for you to make your move. Was it all in their heads, a mass hallucination fueled by teenage adrenaline? Or did something older, darker, and more insidious, decide to make its presence known that night? As we explore this unnerving experience, we'll ask ourselves, can you ever escape the ghosts of a place you once called paradise? Or do they follow you, a reminder that sometimes the past never truly rests? Dear Tony, it's taken me years to gather the courage to share this story. I'm hoping that by telling it, I might finally make sense of what happened, or at least find some solace in knowing I'm not the only one haunted by those shadows. Back in the early fall of my teenage years, when the nights were just starting to carry a chill and Halloween was approaching, my friends and I often gathered for adventures along the shores of Lake Erie. Amherstburg, Ontario was our small town, rich in history and more than a little eerie with its haunted past. But what we encountered that night by the lake was beyond anything we were prepared for. The location itself was like a teenage dream. Imagine a secluded beach tucked away where the Detroit River meets Lake Erie. The sand stretched narrowly between the dark, looming forest and the shifting tide, forming hidden alcoves separated by old stone jetties. We knew every inch of that beach, how it came alive in summer, how it whispered secrets in the dead of night, and how the water could turn eerily still, as if waiting. On this particular night, we weren't looking for trouble, so we'd had our fill of scares after messing around with a Ouija board a few weeks prior, a mistake that left all of us shaken. But youth makes you brave, or maybe just stupid. We buried our bottles of alcohol in the cool surf, planning to return later for a small, quiet party. As we built a fire and set up camp, I remember noticing how the usual sounds of the forest had vanished. No birds, no crickets, just an oppressive silence. The moon hung low in orange, casting a dim, otherworldly glow. It was beautiful and unsettling, painting shadows that seemed to flicker just beyond where the light from our campfire reached. We started with six of us, me, two other guys, and three girls. We put on music and tried to settle into the fun, but there was a strange energy in the air, something that made every snap of a twig sound more menacing. After a while, nature called and we split up to find spots in the forest, the girls heading one way and us guys another. The forest was dark, thicker, and quieter than usual. The ground, mostly sand, muffled our footsteps. The moonlight filtered through the trees, creating pockets of ghostly light. But beyond that, it was pitch black. As we walked deeper in, one of my friends joked about how creepy it was, mentioning how the girls must be terrified. We laughed, trying to shake off the unease, but our bravado didn't last long. While finding a suitable spot, we heard it. Footsteps behind us, soft, deliberate, and matching our movements, we froze, exchanging uneasy glances, and immediately assumed it was the girls playing a prank, but when we called out to them, their voices echoed back from the opposite side of the forest, still engaged in their own search for privacy. Whoever or whatever was following us, it wasn't them. We grabbed some thick branches, determined to scare off any pranksters or unwanted guests. We searched the area, our flashlight beams slicing through the trees, but there was nothing. No footprints, no rustling, just the heavy silence pressing in on us. My heart pounded, a drumbeat of growing fear. We tried to laugh it off as paranoia, but deep down, we all felt it. Something was out there. We returned to the campfire, shaken but trying to act tough. When the girls finally joined us, one of them asked if we'd had the feeling of being followed. Their eyes were wide, their voices anxious. They, too, had heard footsteps trailing them, stopping whenever they stopped. We exchanged uneasy glances, too many coincidences. For comfort, in a burst of alcohol-fueled bravado, we hatched a plan. We'd use the girls as bait, with one of us guys staying at the campfire, while the other two circled into the forest to catch our supposed stalker. I crept into the shadows, my heart pounding with each step. The deeper I moved, the more oppressive the darkness became. A light fog began to rise, swirling around the roots of the old willow trees, making everything feel surreal. I lay flat on the ground, belly to the sand, hoping to catch a glimpse of our prankster. But there was no one, just silence. Then, as I stood up, it happened. A face, dark, featureless, and hanging upside down from the tree above, appeared inches from mine. It was watching me. Motionless, almost as if waiting for me to see it. For a second, terror paralyzed me, freezing my breath and locking my muscles. When I finally broke free, I stumbled back, desperate to get away. I bolted toward the campfire, barely able to keep my legs moving, and as I ran, shadows emerged from behind trees, more than one, watching from the edges of my vision. By the time I reached the camp, the fire was out, and the air had grown colder. The girls were screaming, and the forest seemed to have swallowed all light and sound. We regrouped, our faces pale, our hands trembling. The forest, our safe haven, had turned hostile. The shadows were no longer content to stay hidden, and in that moment we knew something ancient, something dark was watching us, and it wasn't going to let us go easily. Panic had gripped us all as we stood huddled together on that silent beach. The fire, our one fragile source of light, had been snuffed out by something unseen. The cold crept in, numbing our fingers and making the hairs on the back of our necks stand up. I remember trying to catch my breath, my eyes darting between the shadows and the faces of my friends, all of us wide-eyed with terror. The forest, once our playground, now felt alive and not in the way we had ever experienced. Desperation set in. As we debated what to do, our escape route was back through the same forest where the shadows lurked, and now the lake and the beach were being swallowed by a thick, rolling fog. We couldn't see more than a few feet ahead, and the fog had an eerie way of muffling our voices, making our shouts and frantic conversations sound small and hollow. We made the only decision we could. We would walk along the water's edge where we could at least avoid the enclosing darkness of the trees. The water was freezing as we waded into it, our feet sinking into the sandy bottom. We stayed close to the shoreline, moving as fast as we could, the cold seeping into our bones. Every so often, I glanced back toward the forest, and there they were, shadowy figures, barely visible, drifting between the trees like dark phantoms. We whispered to each other, trying to keep our voices low, as if our fear would summon whatever was out there. Then we heard it, a splash, heavy and deliberate, just behind us. I whipped around, and for a split second, I saw a shape in the water, something dark and low, moving in a way that wasn't natural. One of my friends, Chris, grabbed my arm, his grip like iron, his eyes wide with terror. "Keep moving," he whispered, his voice cracking. The whispers from the forest were louder now, almost conversational, like multiple voices speaking in a language we didn't understand. And suddenly Megan, one of the girls, tripped and went under. We pulled her up, gasping and soaked, and she screamed that she felt hands grabbing her from beneath the surface. We didn't stop to question it. Fear turned into raw, unfiltered survival instinct. We kept moving along the shore, our feet splashing through the water, the fog thickening around us, until we reached a rocky section of the beach. It was a relief to climb up out of the freezing water, and we scrambled over the rocks, our breath coming in ragged gasps. So we finally made it to the first house on the street, climbing up the rock wall that separated the beach from civilization. The porch lights were dim, flickering like they couldn't decide whether to stay on or not. We collapsed on the grass, shivering and soaked, our adrenaline starting to ebb, leaving only exhaustion and confusion. But even there, away from the forest and the beach, we didn't feel safe. The fog was creeping in from the lake, swirling around the house, and in the distance, we could still see figures moving. We piled into our cars, not caring who rode with whom, and drove away from that place as fast as we could. The headlights cut through the fog, and every shadow that moved made us jump, made our hearts race. I kept glancing in the rearview mirror, expecting to see something or someone running after us. But the shadows stayed in the fog, watching, waiting. The days that followed were surreal. Each of us experienced things we couldn't explain. Lights in our homes would flicker. We'd hear whispering when no one else was around. I woke up one night to see a shadow standing at the foot of my bed, vanishing the moment I switched on the light. We tried to tell ourselves it was just a trick of our imagination, that we had scared ourselves silly with ghost stories and too much adrenaline. But we knew better. A few of us tried to go back to the beach just to prove it was all in our heads, but we never made it past the edge of the forest. There was a presence there, something oppressive, as if the shadows were daring us to cross that line again. And so we left it alone. We never returned to that beach, never messed with Ouija boards or tried to tempt the supernatural again. We learned our lesson, but the memories of that night and the shadows have never left us. I think about it often, wondering if we somehow woke something up, something that had been resting quietly, until we crossed its path. And though years have passed, I still can't shake the feeling that the shadows never truly let us go. They're just waiting for us to make the wrong move to come back and tempt fate once more. Signed, an A.R.H.H.H.H.H.A. reluctant witness to the shadows. What a story, and one that leaves us questioning what really happened that night by the lake. The shadows in the forest, the whispers in the fog, and the unseen hands pulling at them from beneath the water, all unsettling details that are hard to shake off. Was it the manifestation of teenage imagination, fueled by the fear that comes from dark tales and just a touch of alcohol? Or did they genuinely awaken something ancient, a spirit of the past, tethered to a land full of history and lingering trauma? Psychologically speaking, it's easy to dismiss their experience as a case of mass hysteria. The human mind is a powerful thing, especially when fear takes over. Shadows become monsters. Every sound is amplified, and our sense of reality blurs in the face of survival instinct. The mind, after all, is wired to find danger, even when there is none. But that doesn't explain the physical sensations, the feeling of hands pulling Megan under the water, the lights flickering in their homes afterward, or the shadows that seem to move with purpose. If we entertain the paranormal side, Amherstburg's haunted history comes into play. Wars, ancient burial grounds, and the constant washing up of bodies along that beach create an environment heavy with energy. Many believe that trauma leaves an imprint, a scar that manifests as spirits or shadow figures waiting for the right moment or the wrong people to reveal themselves. Maybe these shadows were protectors of the land, or maybe they were souls who found themselves trapped, doomed to haunt a place where they met their end. In the end, we may never know. But one thing is certain. Some places are best left undisturbed. The shadows in Amherstburg remind us of that. And as our storyteller discovered, sometimes the past isn't just history. It's waiting. Always watching from the darkness. And that's all for now. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our stories.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.